going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Sunday afternoon now on Sports Radio 92 on the Game. John Fricke with you from the Northern Kia Studios. And I apologize to all of you that are listening out there. It is not my intention to be out here bigfooting or name-dropping or doing anything like that. I'm just using it so that you understand kind of where I'm coming from, and I want you to react to it because as I see things, again, as you get older, history means something in life. History's doomed to repeat itself. You'll see that in the news. But in sports, too, if you're a younger Falcons fan and you're in front of your computer, I want you to do something for me. Just a small, minor little thing. Noel, would you do something for me? I'm going to ask you to do this, too. Do you have
sure.
a second? You can Google something. Google 1977 Atlanta Falcons season results, okay? Go ahead and Google it, and then once you've got it, let me know. In 1977, the Falcons come into the year, okay? And offensively, they've got Bart, obviously, but offensively, they're still kind of they weren't the 1980 Falcons that had developed with the three wideouts and all the running backs, and they were pretty good. So they're kind of going, well, what do we do here? How do we define ourselves? How do we possibly win games? So they decide, Lehman Bennett and company, to be a team that's going to blitz nonstop. Okay, we have no choice but to blitz nonstop. So they come up with a defensive plan where they're going to stunt and blitz or stunt or blitz on every play. And so we gave them a nickname. It was called the Grits Blitz. And so they made the offense react to them by either blitzing on every play or faking like they were going to blitz on every play or faking like they were going to blitz and then blitzing from one side or another. But they came after the court. They blitzed every single play. Not the once every series of downs or four times a game, every single play. They either did a run blitz, a pass blitz, or a stunt from one side to the other or both or anything. So they became the Grit Splits. Do you have the 77 season up?
I do.
All right, don't tell me who won and lost. Just read the just start at the top and start reading some of the final scores. Just go.
Let's see. We have 17-6.
You have to get back on the mic. Get back on the mic.
17-6, 6-10, 17-3, 7-0, 0-3, 16-10, 7-14. Yeah.
Listen to these scores. 7-0, 3-0, 7-6, 7-3. How do you win with it if we don't have the we'll just blitz and we'll make this game a one score game. It's just not different than like soccer saying, we got nothing, we're going to play for a 0-0 tie. You have to be about something. That was the Grit Splits. That's how they were going to try and win when they had an offense that hadn't matured yet. It didn't have the whole and Jeff Van Noe can speak to this because he was there through all of it. They didn't quite have the whole Mike Ken, Alfred Jenkins, you know, Wallace Francis, Billy White Shoes Johnson, that whole thing working with Bart yet. That wasn't until 1980, which was a or about. So in 77, they decided, let's go do this and let's. That's where you're at right now with this defense. Now, again, this is history repeating itself. So you have to be about something. So I'm going to tell, and I don't know if Xavier Watts or Billy Bowman or, you know, or Jordan Fuller, any of the new guys, you know, Leonard, welcome back to Georgia, and you're on the team now, and Morgan Fox, or, you know, certainly Jesse Bates would probably understand this. Maybe the coaches would too. I want you to become the pick six posse. That's what I want you to become something. I want you guys to, like, you guys in the back seven need to have, like, a gigantic, somewhere hidden where nobody can see it. You got to have a big jar. And you're going to go in before every game, and all of you is going to throw a $100 bill into the big jar and says, whoever gets the pick six gets the jar. And if somebody didn't get that this week, then you got to put it back in there the next week. Now, okay, now it's get. Now we got to get a pick six. The pick six posse. I want to see like five pick sixes this year. And somebody's going to win that big jar of money. They're going to be like running around the locker room with a big jar of cash in their hands. Okay, good. You got to be about something. And this defense, which was about nothing and confused in the back end last year, can become something. And that's how I kind of look at what they've done here in the offseason, because I think that with these additions, they're giving a tell. But I could be wrong. And they could be sitting around in Larry Branch going, no, you're wrong, John. Well, we want to be a smash-you-in-the-mouth team. We want you to get 2 yards on first down, and we don't want you to get anywhere. Okay. But if they're about something, then we as fans have something to hang our hats on. Because I want every time that quarterback goes back either to be sacked or forced off his spot, and if he puts the ball in the air, I want to yell as the ball goes up, pick, 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 pick. That's what I want to do. Lewis is with us. Hey, Lewis, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a longtime Falcon fan here out in California, but seems like everybody thinks that we just drafted Claude Humphrey and John Zook again. Hopefully that's true. I go back way back like you do, but we have a little posse out here that we watch the Falcons, and we just.
Where, by the way, where in California?
We're like Fresno, you know, Fresno State Bulldogs.
Yeah, no, you're in the Valley. Central Valley.
Yeah, gotcha. Central Valley. Yeah. So we have back when the Falcons used to be in. Rams and 49ers, you know, we had all our buddies were, of course, Rams or Niner fans, so we had to be something different. So that's how that started.
Good for you. Congrats. Yeah.
But maybe you can shed some light on this, John, for us, because we scratch our heads. But I think this week we're listening to Steak and Rusty, and they were saying that from the Georgia, I think it's 23 team, that there's 30-some players in the NFL from the Georgia Bulldogs. Out of that team, specific team, and we have none on the Falcons, and just going back from Terry Fontenot's last five drafts or six drafts, wherever it was, that he hasn't taken a Georgia player in the top three, which is like Georgia's really, you can go back the last 4 or 5 years, there's probably the number one college program, you know, they're sort of the new Alabama, and maybe you can shed some light on this for us. And obviously he was trying to move off that 15 pick. I don't think he wanted Walker. I think he was really high on Pierce. And I think he probably would have drafted Pierce at 15, but somebody in there said, no, hey, you're going to draft a Georgia Bulldog. But clearly he has something.
No, I don't think that had anything to do with it. I think they had to do with the player, not the helmet. You asked me a question. Let me answer it.
Okay.
Let's look at his first four drafts. Terry Fontenot has always drafted a player that he had on his big board higher than his position in the draft. Okay?
Right.
So he's taken the best player available. And the best player available, mm-hmm. No matter your opinion of Kyle Pitts, he was a Pro Bowler his first year. Was second all-time in the history of the NFL in rookie receiving yards by a tight end. Some people forget this, they conveniently do, or the fact that he's worked with how many seven starting quarterbacks, whatever it is, including guys like the Noodle Arm Quitter. Let's find out what he's about. We'll find out this year what he's really about, okay? So he drafts a Pro Bowler. Maybe people say he drafted too high. Fine. Okay, but whatever. The guy made the Pro Bowl, and he had a dramatic and direct impact in his rookie year. He then turns around the next year and drafts Drake London, who is just a Pro Bowl wide receiver. He turns around and drafts Bijan Robinson, who's a Pro Bowl running back. He drafts a quarterback of Michael Penix, who's a franchise quarterback. Forget about the helmet. Could he have done any better in drafting when you go Pro Bowler, Pro Bowler, Pro Bowler, franchise quarterback with your first pick?
Well, I mean, he's drafting top eight. You're going to get a good player. I'm not worried so much about the first picks. Is I don't understand is how, like, on number two, number three, why doesn't he draft Georgia players? I mean, if he just done, if you were
because,
there, we just,
I mean,
draft,
maybe the players that are there, I mean, at the time aren't the best of the Georgia players are already gone in the first round. They tend to be really great players, and so if you're into the second round,
but I mean, why does New
Jersey? I guess what I don't understand here. This is what I understand. I'm not a Georgia fan. I couldn't care less where the players come from. I mean,
right.
The greatest players
in the league.
Well,
I mean, everyone else.
Excuse me, your Ring of Honor. Your
it.
Ring of Honor has a Boston College guy. It's got a guy from Alabama, right? It's got a guy from Texas. I mean,
Auburn.
We're talking about
William Andrews.
You know,
yeah.
Well, there are a lot of Auburn players and a lot of Clemson players. And we've had great players from all sorts of schools. You know, Michigan's put great players in the NFL. Ohio State, Lord knows. I mean, Georgia's done a great job. It just hasn't fallen. This wasn't about drafting. Make no mistake. Jalen Walker wasn't. If Jalen Walker played at Auburn, Jalen Walker doing what he did would be a Falcon right now. It has nothing to do with the fact that he played at Georgia. I mean, it's nice that he did, and it's good for the Georgia fans, but he was drafted not because of what the helmet he wore in college, drafted because of the player he was.
Why do you think it took him so long to make the pit?
I have no answer to that. Thanks, appreciate the call. I mean, I don't know, maybe they were just back there celebrating, maybe they couldn't get him on the phone, who knows? I have no idea. I'm not worried about this. You guys are caught up in all the weird things here. But, I mean, okay. Yeah, I mean, they've drafted four Georgia players over the last 4 years. Three of them were late-round picks, right? John Fitzpatrick, Justin Schaefer, Zion Logue. They finally got an opportunity to draft a Georgia player in a draft that they wanted to go with, and they drafted him, and people were mad that, okay. It's one of the most bizarre conversations I think I've ever had. Do you guys in – somebody help me out here. Do you guys in Los Angeles – and you would think I would know this because I worked in L.A. for all those years. I don't recall anybody in Los Angeles saying, we have to draft USC guys. I don't recall that. When USC was like, winning national titles. Man, putting out Carson Palmers and Reggie Bushes and all sorts of studs into the NFL. We have to draft. Did they say that in Dallas that you have to draft Texas Longhorns? I don't know. Maybe they do. It's kind of the weirdest thing here. You draft players from, you draft the best players, right? And if it turns out that you have an opportunity to whatever your goal is to draft the best player available and he happens to be a Georgia guy, then I know that it's been a sore spot for Georgia fans. I get that, but you know the goal isn't to draft the best Georgia player. Okay, that's not the goal. And by the way, they wouldn't have drafted Jalen Walker if he hadn't fallen to him. He did, and they took him. Let's go to Steve. Hey, Steve, welcome to the show.
Raheem Morris.
Steve.
First of all, Raheem Morris. It's the last two games of the year. You need to win to get in the playoffs. You're driving down for the winning score. 30 seconds left. Who is going to go tell Raheem Morris, hey, man, you got two timeouts left, not one. Kirk Cousins. No one is going to trade for Kirk Cousins until he gets on the field and shows that it wasn't the old age that caught up with him, which it was. Fontenot, you trade your first-round pick next year for a guy who they showed a celebration at his home, and his family members are flashing gang signs. You know, I'll be so glad when this year's over with and we can get rid of Fontenot and this coaching staff.
All right, thanks for that, Steve. Appreciate it. Raheem. Okay. It's an H. Raheem. Vinny. Hey, Vinny. That's a tough act to follow there, Vinny. Don't know if you can.
Yeah, geez, thanks for that one. Long time, first time. Yeah, the role of the GM, I've realized, is, you know, it's obviously a skilled corporate position, but it's as much about luck, it seems like, it is knowledge and skill. I mean, you just said it a second ago, you know, that pick fell to us. You know, what if it didn't? What if he didn't draft quarterback last year? What state would the Falcons be in this year? And everybody hated them last year for doing that. Couldn't believe it.
The draft is to a great degree about luck. I mean, Kyle Shanahan moves up to get Trey Lance. And in the last pick of the draft, he goes, oh, hell, take that Brock Purdy kid from Iowa State. It's about luck.
Yeah, and the point about drafting Georgia players, I mean, that's so it's so ridiculous. You know,
yeah, Georgia fans get all worked up about it. I know.
Oh,
I don't.
My gosh. You know, I'm also a Bears fan, and, you know, we drafted Leonard Floyd number one a handful of years ago and then followed it up by drafting Roquan. You know, right. That didn't pan out. So it's, again, it's luck. You know, I mean, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, it's good fortune. You have to have a good eye. Again, I don't know how you know, you could get as mad as you want. But the track record of Terry Fontenot in the first round has been pretty damn good. He's put him in a position right now where he has an offense with four first-rounders, four number one picks, that looks like it's primed to explode.
He's done everything he's needed to do in all of the first rounds he's been a part of. And, you know, I think people kill him for I don't know what reason. It's almost crazy. I'm not defending him or not defending him. You know, it's when I make a mistake at work, they don't talk about it on radio the next day. So, you know, he's in a different role. But it's just crazy how everybody kills him. And they're like, well, we need edge. Well, obviously we need edge. But, you know, what's he supposed to do? So he drafts.
Yeah, I mean, he addressed it. I mean, again, you had the worst quarterback room in the NFL. He went out and got the number one free agent quarterback and the guy that he deemed as the co-number one best player available in the draft alongside Jaden Daniels, a quarterback and a franchise quarterback, and people got mad that he drafted him. And then we turn around the next year and say we need edge. He drafts, he gets, you know, fortunate and a good bounce. It comes his way. He gets Jalen Walker, and then he goes back into the first round for James Pierce Jr., two studs out of the SEC, two superstar college players, both of whom he drafts who were rated higher on everybody's board than where he picked them. Walker was top 7, and Pierce was top 20, and everybody's like, why did you do that? Why did you trade up? It makes no I got nothing for you. I got damn nothing for you. I don't know what to tell you.
And he was able to do that in actually a poor rush draft class, so to speak. You know,
right,
those
I
two
do
guys
appreciate
were the cream of the crop.
Yeah, thanks, Vinny. Two of the top four, certainly. I mean, Abdul Carter obviously is in that mix, too. Well, Mike Green. Okay. Well, I guess we'll find that out in 2 or 3 years. A lot of teams have passed on Mike Green. James Pierce Jr. went off the board, and nobody jumping in right back behind him going, Mike Green right there. Got to take a break. I know I'm overdue for a break here. All your calls ahead. Can't guarantee I'll respond to all of them, except to maybe correct the pronunciation of a coach or something. But you never know. On Sports Radio 92.9.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Sunday afternoon on Sports Radio 99 The Game from the Northern Kia Studios, reacting to the draft. Braves today, by the way, 4:10 our time, as they send Spencer Schwalenbach to the mound, trying to sweep the Arizona Diamondbacks. Here the Braves are trying to sweep the Diamondbacks. They've moved out of last place. They're in fourth now. They're only a game and a half behind the Phillies from being in second place. The Mets have been playing some pretty great baseball for now, at least start the season. We'll see how that kind of they holds throughout the year here. Mets fans are talking some big smack right now. We'll see. But the Braves, it's 7 of 8, 3 in a row, and yet going for a sweep today, it still feels a little uneasy, doesn't it? So it's like, okay, let's just, it's like kind of hang on right now until you can get Strider back and Acuna back, and maybe, you know, AA has to make a move here in the not too distant future. And, you know, so I'm, but it, we'll see how it kind of all plays out. So where, I mean, I've never been this uneasy about a 7-of-8 streak or something, but hey, listen, they're winning games. That's all. And then they go to Colorado where they can't choke because Colorado Rockies, if you haven't noticed, the Colorado Rockies are, oh my God, awful. The Colorado Rockies are, oh my God, awful. You know, you win two out of, I think it's actually a 4-game series. You win 3 out of 4. That ought to be like the minimum because that team is horrid. I mean, they're really, really bad. 404-726-0929. I think Atlanta United is already an unmitigated disaster. It's just not working, and it's not going to get any better. I have no reason to believe it's going to get any better. I don't think this is the right coach for this team. It's no indictment on him at all. I want to be very clear. Ronnie Dyla can coach. This is just not his team. This team does not need Ronnie Dyla. Ronnie Dyla does not need this team. It is a mismatch. This is not Gabriel Heinze. Gabriel Heinze was a, how do I say this on radio and not get fined by the FCC? A bad dude, okay? You could put whatever adult words you want in there, okay? Let's start with whatever letters you want. Bad dude. He was a bad dude. Ronnie Dyla's not a bad dude. He's not the right guy for the job. It just doesn't work. And there's no reason for me to believe it's going to work. And so I think if I were Garth Lagerwey, if I were Josh Blank, I think I'd be having a meeting right now and moving on. Like today. It just doesn't work. Thank him for his service. Give him a check. Say we're not mad at you. Come out with a press release saying, look, we believe Ronnie's a really good coach. And we hope he finds a good spot. It's just, it's not him. It's like a breakup, you know. It's not you, it's me kind of thing. It just doesn't work. And do the right thing, which is give Valentino the club for the rest of the year. Maybe just let him stay, for crying out loud. They seem to respond to him every time you put him in that spot. But whatever, that's just me. And, of course, we're talking about the Falcons here. And you are welcome to jump into the program if you want to at 404-726-0929. And I call him the Pick Six Posse. I want the defense to have an identity. And I think that I'm getting an idea after the draft now where they want to go with this pressure, and using that pressure with those, you know, rotational guys with fresh legs, because you have, again, Jalen Walker and Arnold Ebiketie on one side, James Spears Jr., Leonard Floyd on the other side. You also have Braylon Trice. You also have D'Angelo Malone, who can get snaps. And inside, you've got Troy Anderson and Cade Nellis, and now Diablo, who can come in and be a guy that can also rush the passer a little bit like Cade Nellis, and also do some stuff in coverage, and more speed than Lamon could ever provide to you. You have JT Bertrand. Now you go out and get ball hawkers like Billy Bowman and Xavier Watts to join Fuller and Bates and Terrell in the secondary. You got a guy in Kobe Bryant who I'm going to keep. A couple of these undrafted free agents I'm going to keep a real close eye on. Kobe Bryant, who I think they could have been drafted, with 3-time All-Big 12 cornerback, just like Billy Bowman, big ball, and Xavier Watts, big ball hawker. That's why they went out and got ball hawkers. And Nick Nash, a wide receiver out of San Jose State, put up big numbers at San Jose State. And we'll see if he can have an impact. It'll be interesting to see him in the preseason with this club. He put up, and I'm sort of surprised he wasn't drafted too. 404-726-0929. Let's go to Wayne. He's on with John. Hey, Wayne, welcome to the show.
Hey, John. Love the format, love the show as always. But I really love this draft class. But I do think, much like 2016, when we had Deion Jones, Keanu Neal, Devondre Campbell, and Brian Poole, four rookies on defense, I think we need that type of production, those cats that can step in and make a difference. And I, too, just like you, I love the fact that we got guys that can doggone catch the ball if it's thrown to them on defense. And I do like that we almost got like a hockey line that we can pull out a whole front five or six and bring another one in. And I think that bodes well when it gets late in the season. And then you got little nicks and things like that where you definitely need quality depth to help this team. But I do believe that I do believe we hit on this draft. I'm just hoping that our rookies can mirror some of what the rookies did in 2016, especially on that side of the ball, because, again, just like 16, the offense was already ready. So I give Terry credit for going out and making sure that we have an inside linebacker that's like a multifaceted guy, but they have a clear vision for the rookies. As I listened to Jeff Ulbrich last night, I like the fact that they've identified what they need, and from what they need, what we want you to be and how it should look to us in our defensive philosophy. So I'm super excited. I can't believe that we got two edges. But, hey, from now on out to every camp, we just got to go hard, man, and get our rookies ready.
Appreciate that, Wayne, 404-726-0929. If you want to weigh in and give me your thoughts and your analysis, yeah, let's make no mistake. They didn't draft, you know, Jalen Walker and James Pierce and Xavier Watts. And for that matter, I mean, Xavier Watts could start for this team. He might, Xavier and Fuller, you know. And so, and Billy Bowman, I think, was drafted probably maybe to start at nickel. Look, there's you know, he's certainly going to, I think Watts and Bowman are going to battle for starting spots. There's no question. And by the way, Walker and Pierce are going to be rotational. I mean, they could start, but starting is a relative term. This is one of the things you have is you have Ebukadi and you have Floyd and you have Braylon Trice and Malone. You have a lot of depth in those positions at the outside linebacker edge spot. So you can rotate guys in and keep them fresh, which is another great thing here. But there's no doubt that all these rookies, all these guys have to produce immediately. I mean, that's what they're drafted. They're not drafted to, we're not drafting a guy to learn and grow. I mean, of course you want them to learn and grow. Don't get me wrong. But we need them to produce in their first season. Let's go to Scott. Hey, Scott, welcome to the show.
Hey, John. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
So this draft to me just says that they want dogs in there. Like, not saying like Georgia Bulldogs, saying like dogs, like guys that'll get after it. It's a personality draft. Because all the guys they drafted are known as like just that attitude player. And for a defense that hasn't had swagger since 2016, 2017, they finally got some guys with some swagger.
And they need an identity.
Oh, absolutely. They need an identity, but they also need a way to, like, tell the opposing offense, hey, we're here. We're going to smash you in the mouth. We're going to pick the ball off. We're going to take it back. We're going to get after your quarterback. And I think schematically it may not be that complicated. It feels very simple the way the Sala defenses and the Quintry defenses are. But who cares about schematics if you're getting after it with four guys and can pick the ball off and are sacking quarterbacks?
Right. That's why I said, you know, I hope they turn into the pick six posse. I mean, I want them to, you know, have, you know, an opportunity to return a lot to the house. I mean, this is the identity that they can have. Right now, Scott, if I'm lining up against this defense, right, in the opening game, kind of looking at it from that vantage point, how am I attacking this defense? Well, to me, I think the best way to attack the defense is to run right at it. And so that's going to be the big challenge. Can they handle teams that are not only, when I say run heavy, I don't necessarily mean volume, though I could mean volume. I'm talking about big backs just pushing you down the field. Can they handle a team that's going to just the old, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust, they're going to line up with a big offensive line and they're just going to try and ram it down your throat? How do they handle that? Because I think when you get against a quarterback who, you know, wants to be pass first, I think they can be not only disruptive with the pass rush, but also disruptive with the pass defense. So I think that'll play more into their hands. At least that's my first impression. I don't know how you see it.
I think that's going to depend on a lot of things. I mean, you've got Rook in there. He's going to end up playing a big role in the defense. You've got Dorlus, who should see a lot of snaps. Still got Onyemata in the middle. I mean, they've got the guys on the interior. I think the one guy nobody's really mentioning right now that's going to have a massive impact, especially if they increase his snap count, is Zach Harrison. That dude is fantastic against the run. And if they use him right, which, you know, might be playing some 3-tech, might be playing some 5-tech, you know, they could really have an impact out of him this year. He may not be a 10-sack guy. He's probably not going to be a 5-sack guy. But he could be a guy that could stuff the run, maybe get a sack or two, and really just get after it and open things up for other guys. And I think Root could be something very similar if you play him at a one technique in that A-gap.
Yeah, well, that's why I think they're going to play him. I think the whole point is to put Rook in the middle. Rook's got big, long arms. He's a big, big stud guy. And now that with Morgan Fox, you know, alongside him, I think the bigger question, I appreciate the call and the analysis here. Bigger question to me is post-June 1, what do they do with Onyemata? Do they keep him? Do they move on from him? Because they can create some cap space. One of the questions I asked Joe Patrick earlier, that's something that everybody's focused in on Kirk Cousins for obvious reasons. But there is an opportunity to create $10 million with David Onyemata. But is that a good idea, given the fact that you'd have to replace him because you need that kind of big stud in the middle? All right, quick break. And as we get back, your reaction here, talking draft, talking Braves, talking United. Am I wrong? I need a Five Stripes fan to tell me that you think I'm wrong. I always say of course I could be wrong. I'm a human being. We're fallible. And I've been married twice. So there's proof. On Sports Radio 90 Time the Game. Sports Radio 90 Time the Game on a Sunday afternoon, just reacting now at the NFL draft. And credit, by the way, to Green Bay and to the NFL for putting on a hell of a show. It was a great draft. It was a lot of fun to watch. The whole Shadur thing. The Browns. Do you know that the Browns now have 5 quarterbacks on their roster? 5. Deshaun Watson, I know he's got the Achilles, but he could come back. You got Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, you draft Dylan Gabriel from Oregon, and then you draft Shadur Sanders. Oh, my goodness. That's an interesting group. You know, it is a franchise in defense of having those 5 quarterbacks, hoping, obviously probably not Deshaun at this point, to find one that can play, because no matter how snake bit you feel as a Falcons fan, let me tell you how snake bit Browns fans feel. Okay? This is a team that has not gone to a title game of any sort since the merger between the AFL and NFL in the 1960s. Okay? They haven't been to nothing. Okay? They had the drive happen to them. They haven't been to a Super Bowl, right? They had the drive happen to them. So that was snake bit 2 by John Elway and the Broncos. Then they lose their team to Baltimore in the middle of the night. Gone. The team goes. It left so fast, those moving vans move out, and something flies up in the air, and it lands on the ground, and it's a Browns jersey. They left the nickname and the jersey back there. So you guys can have that. And they went off to Baltimore, became the Ravens, and won 2 Super Bowls. God help us. And then on top of all of that, and don't give me Bernie Kosar or Vinny Testaverde, okay? Because they were okay quarterback. Cleveland is so starved, they go, Bernie Kosar. What do you say to the Browns? Tell me your last franchise quarterback. Bernie Kosar, Vinny Testaverde. I'm like, okay, those guys were sort of like mid players, guys. Those weren't exactly Hall of Famers. Brian Sipe, they haven't had a quarterback in Cleveland worth a damn, I mean really worth a damn, since like Otto Graham. I mean, you've got to go back like 70 years. They tried, and Johnny Manziel's laid out in the end zone, you know, like he's dead laying there in the end zone. I mean, they've tried. So you may hate Shadur Sanders. I don't know why you would. I personally don't know him, never met him, like his dad a lot, as you know. I've mentioned this many times. I hope Shadur wins that battle, not because he was drafted in the 5th round. I don't care about all the noise that's around Shadur and all this crap about, you know, why he fell. All I care is that, hey, listen, it'd be interesting that either, for that matter, Dylan Gabriel, because Joe's Joe. I mean, and Joe Flacco is a guy that I like. I mean, I would have considered him as a backup for the Falcons. I mean, hey, by the way, he may still be a backup for the Falcons. I mean, Cleveland could cut him and say, you know, we're just going to run with the rookies. Or Kenny Pickett could be a backup for the Falcons. The Falcons are going to have to pick up another quarterback at some point. And Joe Flacco or Kenny Pickett could be on the market. And for the Browns' sake, I hope that either Dylan Gabriel or Shadur Sanders becomes a star quarterback. That's a franchise that probably deserves it more than any other in the entire NFL. Okay, that's all. 404-726-0929. Let's go to Marty. Marty, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thanks. I just, an overview of the draft and draft philosophies, the Falcons are kind of mired down into the, boy, he does great in the first round. And trade away draft picks and come up with two or three guys each year. And that really doesn't work. That's like a variation on the Mike Ditka theme of trade away your whole draft for one guy you really want. The other way to go is like the Eagles and the Chiefs, who each year have a boatload of draft picks, people to choose from. That's a descendant of the Jimmy Johnson theory when they were a dynasty and just had draft choices to burn and people to choose from. The Falcons are slapdash, you know, throw a bit of mortar into the crack in the wall and stuff like that. And it just, over time, it just doesn't work. And the idea that it's all just luck, I mean, that feeds into that being rational, but it's really not, if you think about it.
Are you a Falcons fan?
Big time. Decades of season tickets.
I was only asking because I couldn't tell. I mean, you could have been a Falcons fan and you could not have been a Falcons fan. I understand what you're saying.
No, I'm a football fan, but I'm a Falcons fan. Why would having an opinion on how to run a draft? No, it's not okay. I'm saying, why would you ask that? What's the point?
Well, because your criticism is a little unfounded, in my opinion. It sounds more like an attack than a draft philosophy.
Again, look at Jimmy Johnson.
So how many starters on this team?
You let other people talk.
I thought I just did.
Hello?
You just ranted. I'm just asking you a question.
Well, I'm not doing an attack. I'm doing an assessment of how successful teams run a draft.
I understand that.
Can I ask a question? Fire away.
Okay. All right. How many quality starters do you think the Falcons have drafted?
How many quality starters in what time frame? I didn't hear that.
You want to talk about time frames? Okay, you're talking about the Fontenot time frame and only the Fontenot time frame?
I'm talking about the organization as it stands today and has stood for 8 years.
Okay. All right, so
it is, all right, it's not,
so you want to talk about the last 8 years, how many quality starters they've drafted?
No, what I want to talk about is what is your philosophy?
My philosophy is to win Super Bowls. Yes.
Do you value, I'm saying draft philosophy, you can keep cutting me off, but it doesn't change the facts. The Philadelphia Eagles and Chiefs went to the Super Bowl. They're both perennials now, and they have general managers that bring in a lot of draft picks. We give up draft picks. Like, there's seven that you start with. We're starting with five next year. Always mortgage the future. Always be in cap hell, and it's just a losing philosophy.
I mean, they have, I don't know, 15, 20 players in there too deep they all drafted. I mean, 25. I mean, I'm not really sure where we're going with this. I mean, do they need to do
a
better job of drafting?
They trade away their draft picks.
But they've done a really good job of putting together what I think is a really good offense through the draft, right? I mean, they've got numerous number one draft picks. How many number one draft picks do they have on offense? Let's see. I'm just counting my head. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 number one picks, right?
Yeah, and they have those really high up because they finish so poorly.
And then they have a number two pick starting on offense too, so that's pretty good. But we'll see how they do this year. This is a team that was 6-3 last year, was going to win the South, and then the broke down liar, you know, broke down and lied, which was a shame for him and really because it really kind of ruined anything he had going with his team.
Well,
here.
I mean,
it's not the party line; it's a fact. So
let me finish this. It's a fact that the coach couldn't tell that his quarterback was hurt. He asked him and said, well, I guess what I'm seeing on film
isn't really
happening.
So let's go back to this. Hey, let me ask you the question then, Marty. Are the Falcons, in your opinion, the favorites in the South this year?
No, I think, well, it has to still be the Tampa Bay until they're unseated. Remember,
the team
it was
beat
only
twice
two
last
years,
year, and we had unseated, but until the breakdown line? Okay.
I get about a sentence in. It's also
Two
years
no, you
ago,
don't, Marty. As a matter of fact, not only do you not get a sentence in, you've had your last sentence in. God help me. Noel, did he get a sentence in? And or did I? He was just going to bitch and moan about everything, and he didn't want to have a discussion. He just wanted to. He wanted to slam the Falcons for being a bunch of, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
look,
I mean,
you can come
Falcons
in here and disagree. That's
went
fine.
Into this year with what, 5 picks? But what did you come out with? And you were able to scout the undrafted free agents. But I think the real issue is like the draft gets conflated too much with this draft value stuff, and not really about building a team.
And then he wants to compare us to the Eagles, who, by the way, the Falcons beat last year in Philadelphia. Does Marty know that? That the Falcons beat the Eagles in Philadelphia? Is he aware of that? Falcons had Kansas City beat until a terrible call against Kyle Pitts in the back of the end zone, right? That they didn't call. They had the Chiefs beat, too. They were 6-3, and they were rolling. They had beaten Tampa twice. They were rolling. And then the guy lied. But he's not going to hear anything but the negative. Marty wants to live in a negative world. This team on the cusp, they went into cap hell. There was some poor decisions made in the previous regime. And I'm not going to argue, look, the previous regime had a moment because the previous regime was able to build a team that was at 28-3 in a Super Bowl. Matter of fact, they not only that, but go back 17-0. Right, against Colin Kaepernick in the NFC title game. They win that game. They go off to the swamp and the Super Bowl, and they may be John Harbaugh in that one. Instead, we got the Harbaugh Bowl. People forget that was an NFC title team too. This has been a tough period. Now they're coming out of the tough period. And they're trying to maneuver their way through cap hell to get into this team has a lot of really good young players. A lot of really good young players. High draft picks. You don't win with fifth round draft picks. Well, we've got to go out. You think the Philadelphia Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs are winning with fifth round picks? They're winning with stars that they drafted in the first two rounds. What do the Falcons have? Stars that they drafted in the first two rounds. I don't really understand where Marty was going with all this, except to bitch and moan. You want to bitch and moan, that's fine. But don't scream at me that I'm cutting you off when I let you talk and bitch and moan, and I had enough of it. Scott is with us. Hey, Scott.
Yo, Perky, Scott. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Oh, hey, Perky, what's going on? How are you doing?
Fine. By the way, Scott, if you want to be, Marty want to be negative, that's fine.
No. Actually, you know what? I think the last time, I think we got off on a bad hand, and this was a while ago, but I'm 100% going to agree with you on two major factors here. The first one is, did I spit out my milk when we drafted Jalen Walker? Yes, because we're not known to draft Georgia players. It is a thing. But at the same time, you pick the best player off the draft for the needs of your team. And when you have a chance to fill another slot that you need, you move up or you give up a draft pick. So I'm agreeing with you on a couple of these last callers because it's the silliest thing. People were screaming for defense for the past 5 years, and now they're turning their heads? Like, it doesn't make any sense. Make some sense of it, please.
Yeah, I don't understand why you wouldn't look at this team and start to see a defensive philosophy. Is the franchise under fire for not winning? Yes. It's really a shame what happened last year. I think what Kirk Cousins did was unforgivable. In my world, he may end up, the sad fact is, Scott, he may end up being the starting quarterback at some point this year, should anything happen to Michael Penix. I really hope not.
But you never know. You don't even know if he's going to turn into a draft pick down the road either. You know, because the last guy was complaining about losing a first-round draft pick. Well, you know what? The needs that we have right now are in front of us.
But we didn't lose a first-round draft pick. That's something I don't really square.
It's okay.
We swapped him. Right.
Yeah.
Well, we traded a one for
doing,
a one. So I don't understand what
right
this lose.
Thing. That's exactly what it is.
There was no losing a first-round draft pick.
You have needs. You do them.
Yeah, there was no losing
again,
first-round
draft pick. I'm agreeing with you, man. Like 110%.
You know
what everybody
Scott,
else is on.
Well, you know what's interesting is somebody was. You know, I was trying to explain it to him on social media. We lost first round. I was like, no, you swapped. You traded a one this year for a one next year. And yeah. He said, yeah, but the one next year is going to be a top 15 pick. I went, oh.
I hope
what?
Not.
I hope not. If it is, we're going to have a new general manager and a head coach.
I pick next year, man. I want a maybe last 10 pick. That's what I want.
No, I want 32.
And I want it as soon as possible. Yeah, I want a 32 as well. Right? But like, let's just not get out of our heads here, but like, be honest here. If you can get yourself two first-round draft picks of needs, go get
right.
them. Go get
in
them
a time
right
where,
now.
Right, in a time where you desperately need to win, the owner needs to win, the franchise needs to win. They were on the cusp of winning last year until one guy refused to tell anybody how hurt he was.
Yeah, well,
how come the head coach didn't know that? Well, because the trainer said he's, you know, and then he's the one who comes out and says, yeah, I didn't tell anybody, and he comes out on the NFL Network. To me, again, how cold as ice is that locker room to him? If I'm a player on that team from last year, dude, I'm throwing up like the vampire, you know, cross at you. You know, you're, no.
I don't even want to talk to you, man. Don't claim you're about the city, your family's from here. Don't do all that. Please stop because – literally, man, you crapped on all of us. That's how
right.
I would be in that locker room.
Yep.
Like, I
that's
don't
how I would
to
be, too.
To you.
Where's
I
nine?
I want you to open that no trade clause and get out, dude.
Right. That's what I want, too. Appreciate it, Scott. Thanks.
And,
all right, top of the hour here. I'm trying to be mean to Marty. I just didn't really understand why he was so angry. I mean, let's just – we are where we're at here. Do we want to be Philadelphia and Kansas City? Yes. Of course we do. That's where we're aiming. Beat Philadelphia last year. Beat Tampa twice. Oh, Tampa's a favorite. I'm like, okay. Well, let me ask you a question. You don't have to answer this on the air. Would you trade Michael Penix straight up for Baker Mayfield right now? I'm just asking. You may. That's fine. On Sports Radio 92 on the game.